Going to come easy, amen? And I titled the message here this night, The Tree of Life, The Tree of Life, amen? The Tree of Life. And I'm going to go back to the real beginning in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 9. Opening scripture, the Bible says that the Lord had made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground. This is, he was speaking about the Garden of Eden at the real beginning, amen? The Lord had made all sorts of trees. Tell your neighbor, all sorts of trees. There wasn't just a two or three different kinds. There was all sorts of trees. Amen? The Lord had made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground. Trees that were beautiful. Tell your neighbor, they were beautiful. And that produced delicious fruit. Tell your neighbor that produced delicious fruit. There's some people that are pretty and handsome, but ain't got no delicious fruit. The trees of all sort that grew up in the Garden of Eden that were of God were not only beautiful, but they produced beautiful, delicious fruit. Amen? In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It mentions two trees here, not just one. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you for this night. We thank you that you have called us, that you have chosen us. And because of that, we are going to listen to your word here this night because we know you have something within your word for us this night, Lord. I pray that you put me to the side, that you use me this night. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. 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 So we find out here that the Lord made all sorts of trees come up from the ground, Scripture tells us, trees that were not only beautiful, but that produced delicious fruit. And then it goes on to say, amen, that within the middle of this garden, there was two trees. Smack in the middle of the garden that he placed. One tree was called the tree of life. And the other tree was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen? This is in the very beginning after God made creation. Amen? After the seventh day. And in Genesis chapter 2, 15 through 17. Amen? The Bible says that the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. Amen? But the Lord God warned him. Not Eve, but he warned him. It's one of them husband messages, amen? Can I get an amen, somebody? Yeah, you know who I'm talking to right now. It's a parable. If you're listening, it's for you. Pastor, I'm not married yet. Does that mean it's not for me and I can leave? No, no. Do you want to get married? Stay listening. But the Lord God warned him. Who did he warn? Adam, the man. You may freely eat the fruit of every tree, because there was all sorts of them. Amen. They were beautiful, they were precious and delicious and all that, amen? That you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden. In other words, you can not only have two in the morning, you can eat as many as you want to. The garden never going to run out. You can have as many as you want, Adam. But then he goes on to say, because he's warning him, except the tree, speaking about one tree, not two trees here, amen? Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Amen? So we found out that all sorts of trees God hooked up the garden, amen? It was like the, like in Pick and Save, it was the, there was a produce department in there that had fruits to galore. of all sorts. I believe those trees are just covered in fruit. There wasn't just one or two. And the Bible says that they not only looked beautiful, but them trees were of all sorts, were bearing fruit. Amen. And then he kind of warns Adam and says, you see those two up there in the middle of the garden? And he picks one out of the tree of knowledge and good and evil and says, you leave that one alone. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Amen? And I put here in my notes, here we find that even before sin entered the world, the garden, that God was giving instructions. He was bringing warnings to Adam. This was before sin had not even entered yet. Amen? And God was giving instructions to Adam regarding and dealing with the garden. In other words, God was creating boundaries within the garden. Even though there was all sorts of trees that he could freely eat from, except that one tree in the middle, it sounds like a no-brainer that instructions were not even needed to be given. But yet God gave instructions to Adam. Amen? God, knowing that he was in the making right around the corner, God would give instructions to Adam. He would create boundaries in the garden, which allows, whenever there's instructions being given or boundaries, it allows us either to make the right decisions or the wrong decisions. Here within the garden, stay with me, you got to be with me, all sorts of trees, I believe there were in the thousands, all sorts of trees they could freely eat from. But there was just one of the two that was in the middle, except that tree. You would think that would be very easy, simple instructions, simple boundaries that Adam would be able to follow very easily. But he would have to give the instructions God gave to him to his wife. Amen? For she too could know the boundaries of the garden, the instructions, the warnings that God gave regarding the trees and the fruit of the garden. Amen? In verse 9, the Bible records that God made all these trees. At the real end, it says, in the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life. It's rarely spoken about. Amen? The tree of life. We always go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But in the middle of the garden, back up, the Bible says, I want you to see this one. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So here, though, the tree of life is rarely spoken on, amen, it had its purpose. And it was right next to the tree of knowledge and good and evil that Adam was warned about that he was not to partake of. That was this tree, the tree of life, was right next to it in the middle of the garden. He didn't say nothing that you couldn't eat from the tree of life. But he mentioned these two trees for a reason, that they were in the garden side by side. They were, that was a choice, a decision. As we continue here this night, you got to be listening. So here, verse 9 speaks about two trees in the middle of the garden. Not just the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but the tree of life as well. And we're going to come back to that tree of life in a little bit. Amen. Verse 16 says, but the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden. We need to know that the goodness of God totally outweighs the provision of the enemy. I mean, the thousands of beautiful trees with delicious fruit versus just one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil that he was to leave alone. The goodness of Christ by far outweighed the provision of the enemy within that garden. And even today, as we live in end times, the goodness and the provision, the grace and mercy of God is still so much greater than what the world has to offer. And if it is, why are people still eating off the tree of knowledge of good and evil that God gave instructions to leave alone? Why are we so tempted still to go and sin and do these things of the world, when the goodness and the grace of the mercy of the Lord is so much greater than what the world has to offer, than what the enemy has to offer? Why is it that so many men today, women, and you today, even of this church, still are drawn by the things of sin? Why do we do it then, when the provision and the goodness of God farly outweighs what the enemy has to offer? Especially if you've been there and done that already out there in the world. Got all messed up. Lost everything, but here we are tonight breathing. Not because of what we did, but because of what Jesus did. Because of the grace and mercy of Jesus for our lives. We have a chance to get it right here this night. But there'll always be two looks. There'll always be two looks. And whether you're going back, you're looking. Whether you're going forward, you're looking. You'll always be looking. In the world that we live in, you'll always be looking. Whether you're going back to do the same mess again, you'll be looking. Or even if you're going forward in the things of the Lord, you're going to be looking. And as we look, there'll always be decisions that we got to make. Man, she's beautiful and everything, but I can't do that. I can't do that. She's looking at me. I can't do that. She wants my phone number. I can't do that. He wants my phone number. He thinks I'm beautiful. Nobody's ever said I'm beautiful. You can't do that. Everything has its proper timing. Anything before the timing of God is sin. God wants you to have a man and a woman. But the timing's got to be right in order for it to be a good thing. The problem is, too many people get together too prematurely and things happen. Because they didn't wait. They didn't do it the right way. Every tree, the goodness of God versus one tree. One tree. But I've seen men and women I put here just make just one big mistake and lose it all because of one choice, one tree that they knew they should have left alone. One big mistake, though that's what it may look like, it was really many little bad choices you made. Eve just didn't walk up to the tree and take a bite off the apple. We're calling it an apple tonight. Amen. She just didn't walk up there and say, wow, beautiful tree. I'm going to have a bite off this apple. You want some, Adam? This is a good tasting apple. It's perfectly ripe and delicious, just like God said it was. Eve just didn't walk up to the tree and bite off into the apple. There was a long conversation with the enemy that was questioning God's word. We just don't do things overnight. Pastor Herb said, it happened months ago. You started doing a little bit here, a little talking to her, talking to him, a little, and before you know it, you mess up. Oh, why did I do that? No, it was the many little things that led up to that. Genesis 3:1-7, the Bible reads, she just didn't walk up to the tree and take a bite off the apple. A conversation took place with the enemy. And if you ain't talking to God, the enemy will be talking to you. Because we're meant to communicate. God gave us a tongue and a heart for we could speak. For we could worship Him. For we could call upon His name. The Bible says that the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, he was conversating with Eve, not Adam, but Eve. One day, it always happens one day. Hey, Pastor, well, what happened? It was like one day, you know, last week, man. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? He's conversating. And he's not just having any conversation. He's having a conversation based on what God said. See, you got to know what God says about your life. You got to know what God says about the call and the promises that He has given your life. Because the enemy will try you. He will test you. He will tempt you to see if you really know what God says about you, who you are, based on what He says. Not based on what mom and dad said, even wicked of kids we were, but based on who God says we are. Because what really matters this night is who God says we are. So the enemy just, he's not small talking Eve. But he's asking if God really said this and this. He was testing her IQ and what God said. Too many people want to be successful in the things of the Lord without knowing His word. You got to learn His word. You got to start reading someplace or another. You got to start reading what God says about you. You got to be able to read about the warnings that God says and staying away from sin. And she said, well, of course we may eat from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. So not only was Satan speaking, the serpent, but now even that they're having dialogue, they're talking back and forth now. It's not just the enemy talking. They're both talking. And they're in the garden. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat, God said. How did she know that? When God only told Adam. Because Adam told her. He communicated to, hey, man, warning. Well, beep, beep, the tree right there by the next one. Leave that one alone. But he probably told her real quick he was busy tending to the garden and didn't give her all the specifics, didn't take time to communicate. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. The last time I preached on you must not touch it. God never said nothing about touching the fruit. So he found a little flaw in what God said and the way Eve saw it. But I'm not preaching about that tonight. Amen? Satan replies in verse 4. It's just like they're texting back and forth. Amen. Ooh. Ooh. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God. That's what he tried to do in heaven. Amen. Got kicked out of heaven for wanting to be like God. Knowing both good and evil. So the woman was convinced. Who won the debate? The devil won the debate. You need to know here this night that the devil knows the word of God also. He knows the word. And he obviously knew the word a little bit more better than Eve. Because that day, the Bible says in verse 6, that the woman, which is Eve, was convinced. He convinced her. How many have ever been convinced before to do the wrong thing? Nobody's here. Nobody's looking. It's like, that's for me, man. Somebody leaves something behind, drops it. Well, you found it. I know it must belong to me. No, just because you found it and somebody misplaced it, don't make it yours. But we have a way of convincing ourselves to do what the flesh wants to do. The Bible says that she was convinced. She saw, she was looking with her eyes, that the tree was beautiful. The truth is, they were all beautiful. That the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. We're talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then just to make sure, then she gave some to her husband, who was with her. He looked at her. He was waiting for her to drop dead. Hey, God said, you would surely die. You want some? Yeah, why not? That part must not have been true, what God said. Ding. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. And he ate it too. There was a long conversation with the enemy that was questioning God's word, and he was able at the end to convince her that he was right. The enemy is so good in allowing us to think that we can serve both good and evil. Remember, she partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Too many times we feel we can do good on Sunday and do bad on evil Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We bite off the tree of good and evil. The enemy convinces us that we can still sin and come to church and still answer the call of God. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can only go so far. You can have the right words. You can learn the word and everything. You can talk good. But eventually, your true colors will be found out. Your true colors will be found out. Too many biting into the knowledge of good and evil, thinking they can be evil and good at the same time. The Bible says you can only serve one master. But too many times we think we can do good and evil and be all good with God. From the many trees of God's provision, her focus would now shift and be fixed to one tree, the one the enemy was speaking about. It's funny how the enemy can take your focus from all that God has for you, for all that he has already done for you, and get you to fix your eyes on what you shouldn't be looking at, more or less to bite into it. I put here, sin has a way of only being able to see one thing. Sin has a way of only being able to see one thing. Sin has, at the end, all she could see was that one delicious tree when there was many sorts of trees that were delicious and available. But out of everything, her focus, all she could see was that one tree that the enemy was speaking about. And it was beautiful. I think when she bit into it, it wasn't like a sour apple. I mean, it tasted good too. She was like, woo, the Bible says their eyes were open. She's like, woo, that tasted good. I put it here, sin has a way of making you very, very limited to be only able to see one thing. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm going to tell you. In my high school days, partying and girls and clubbing was all I could see and all I could do for about 8 or 10 years. I never had a job, nothing. All I could do every day was, this was the harmless part, drinking a little bit, smoking a little bit of pot and with the girls and rock and rolling every day. All I could do for 8 or 10 years through my high school years after graduating high school, amen, all I could see was partying, girls, and clubbing. That's all I could see. My life had become so limited in what my mom and dad wanted for my life and what God wanted for my life. I couldn't see it. Because sin already had a hold of me. And my world was all wrapped around partying, girls, and clubbing for 8 or 10 years straight. I did it Monday to Monday. There was never a day that I did not smoke a joint. Never a day. It was something I did for at least 8 and 9 years. My life couldn't go any further because of that one thing. That's all I could see, and that's all I could do. I was very limited. Though all my brothers and sisters all went to college and were graduating and buying cars and houses and becoming someone in their life, I was still clubbing and partying and smoking pot. Year after year after year, I was very limited. And then from there, I graduated to hard drugs. And then for years, I was very limited to hard drugs. I didn't go out with the girls no more. I didn't do the clubs no more. I didn't drink no more. I didn't smoke pot no more. I was now doing hard drugs, coke and heroin. And that's all I could do. Coke and heroin had limited my life. That one thing had my life bound for years. I no longer could even be with the girls and the clubs and have a few beers and be sociable drinker. I was a hard case drug addict now. My life had become, once again, for years, very limited. That's all I could see, and that's all I could do. I couldn't go any further. That one tree had me. When I could have gone to college and I could have become anything I wanted to by applying myself. I was so lost and deceived that I didn't even know it. I would tell mom and dad, you guys don't know what you're talking about. I got this. I'm going to have fun because one day I'm going to get old and I'm not going to be able to have fun. So I'm going to have fun right now while I can. And I made all these promises to my mom and dad. And how good I was going to rebound and come back and do so good. Talking about making right decisions here this night. Do you want to be a limited man of God, a limited woman of God? Or do you want to be able to really succeed in continuing to grow as a man of God, continually to grow as a woman of God, and have all everything opened up to your life that comes from God, that will take you, the Bible says, from glory to glory to glory? This world is limited. And there's a time on this world where everything that everybody's working for is going to be gone. And the only thing that's going to be left is the promises of God, His Word. Scripture says that. Genesis 2:9, the Bible says that the Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground. Trees that were beautiful, that produced delicious fruit in the middle of the garden. He placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen? Coming back, I told you we're going to come back to that tree of life. In Genesis 3:22, the Bible records they had sinned, amen? Adam and Eve, they sinned. And God said, oh my Lord, they sinned. Remember that tree of life was mentioned for a purpose. It was mentioned for a purpose. The Bible goes on to say after they sinned and they got busted, because if you're sinning, you will get busted. Then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. Okay? Because they bit off the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Amen? But what God was concerned about was that other tree that was mentioned with purpose in the beginning. And God said, what if they reach out and take fruit from the tree of life? There was a concern here. And eat it. Then they will live forever. It was the tree of life. So God had to move. Because that tree of life was there as something good, but now it had become a problem. There's times in your life where God will do something good that you'll turn into a problem. As Adam and Eve turned the good garden, everything He created, the birds, the sea, the sun, everything, the Bible says after He created it, it was good. And He created both of those trees and all sorts of trees, but He spoke about the tree of life. It had a purpose. And He didn't say they couldn't eat of it. But after they partook of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, now there was a problem. The tree of life, which was good, had now become a big problem in the garden. Something that once was good and to eat of had now become a big problem. And God says, what if they eat it? They will live forever. They took off the tree off of good and evil, and all of a sudden they knew good and evil because that's what they bit into. But the other tree was the tree of life. Not just life, but a life forever, an eternal life. And what God was saying, He goes, in their sin, now if they eat off the tree of life, they'll live forever in sin. Anyone that comes behind them, which is you and I, will live forever in sin. And there'll be no way out. There'll be no counter. So God goes and devises a plan to stop them from eating from a tree that was good to eat from, was now not good for them to eat from. because now sin had entered. Sometimes you can be a blessed man of God, a blessed woman of God, being blessed of God. You allow sin to enter, and it just kills what was good in your life. One thing, one tree, one girl, one man, one wrong job kills what at one time was blessed. Genesis 3:23, stay listening. Genesis 3:23 and 24. So the Lord puts a plan together. I've preached on this before. I've never got this insight. So the Lord banished them from the Garden of Eden. I went real quick through a commentary. He said he wasn't punishing them. He had to get them out of the garden. Now he had to keep them from eating what he said was good. Now it wasn't good. So the Bible says that God banished them from the Garden of Eden. He got them out of the garden. They couldn't partake of that fruit because there would be no getting out of sin then. And he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. 24, after sending them out, this is how important it really was. Amen. God didn't pull out the tree of life. He guarded it. He protected it. He kicked Adam and Eve totally out of the garden. He left the tree of life there. And the Bible says that the Lord stationed mighty cherubim, angels, to the east of the Garden of Eden. He put an angel there. Amen? And he placed a flaming sword, like in front of that door, amen? A flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. The tree of life had a purpose. God could have pulled it out, thrown the fruit in the sea and been done with it. But the tree of life had a purpose. God had a purpose for your life and my life. And God protected the tree of life. And he kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, the Bible records. He banished them from the garden, verse 23 says. 24 says, he stationed an angel in flaming swords to guard the way to the tree of life. Why? I'm going to take a little commercial here. There's a day, such a day called Arbor Day. Amen? Like Tree Day, amen? Arbor Day was on April 10th, first started April 10th, 1872, when 1 million trees were planted in Nebraska. True stuff. According to North Carolina State University, one large tree can absorb 40 pounds of carbon dioxide a year and give back 100 gallons of water vapor a day. This is what big trees are able to do. You look it up in any science book and they'll tell you. Amen? Trees bring oxygen that we breathe. Fish that are under, with all the plants, it brings oxygen. If you have an aquarium and, you know, it's fish that need air, there's a little bubbler because it's got to bring oxygen. If you have real plants and rocks, they naturally bring oxygen to the water. Amen? You would say, fish need oxygen? Yes, they do. We need oxygen. It's what we're breathing right now. It's called oxygen. And the Bible says that one full tree, that the science says that one big tree can produce 100 gallons of water vapor a day. 100 gallons, that's a lot of water. It can also supply enough oxygen. Right now, what you're breathing is oxygen. It's something that we need, amen? Oxygen brings life. Like the life, the tree of life, oxygen brings life. It can also supply enough oxygen. This is one tree. Each day for four people. In other words, four people can live 24 hours a day off of one tree. In other words, trees give life. They say some of the best oxygen and you can get is in Northern California. There's a lot of plant life and trees and forests. It's not next to no big cities. Therefore, Salinas is some of the best air oxygen in the world. Amen? Because of all the vegetation and all the stuff, because it brings oxygen. And they also take poisons and all that. They also take stuff away from the air. They're like filters. Pastor, where are you going with this? I don't know. Just keep listening. Amen? Trees give life. Trees give life. Question, getting back to the message. Why did God guard the tree of life? Why couldn't he just chop it down, got rid of it, be done with it? Amen? Let poor Adam and Eve forgive them and let them keep going. He never said they couldn't eat off of it. Only until they ate of the tree of good, knowledge of good and evil, then Genesis 3:22, all of a sudden, then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take the fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever along with their sin. Amen? Sin forever, there would be no counter. No counter for your life and my life. No remedy. Adam and Eve would become immortal. They would live forever and ever. They would become just like God. Their sin would live forever and ever. The tree of life that was good could now become a great problem. What's good in your life from God here this night? What good things have God done? I've seen people get divorced and all of a sudden a nice family, a wife that was blessed, you know, all of a sudden becomes a big problem. A divorce takes place. Kids are going this way and that way. And what God called blessed and what God called good for man all of a sudden becomes a big problem. Question, so how can we return to the garden safely if it's so tightly guarded? Why was it so tightly guarded by God? We know that they couldn't get to the tree of life. Amen? The tree of life didn't have the answer. No one could get to it. It didn't have the answer. I put here, only until the proper time. That tree of life was going to have the answer in that garden. And that's why God was protecting it. It would soon have the answer, but at the proper time. How many know that Jesus saved you and I just at the right time? Amen. It's one of my favorite scriptures, Romans 5:6. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. At the proper time, the right time. Jesus here this night knows what he's doing. Jesus had to die on the cross for us to once again have access to the tree of life within the garden. How many's life was taken from them regarding the area of sin, addiction, things of the world, your life? Because the Bible says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. My life was destroyed. The obedience of Jesus reversed the disobedience of Adam. And his grace and mercy now allows us back to Eden, back to the garden, back to his plan. But if Adam and Eve would have got to that tree of life, sin would have gone on forever. You and I would not have had a second chance. And sometimes we take for granted sitting in the house of God and thinking we can still go and eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. and still get away with it and take forever to make those adjustments and those changes within our life that God has called for. The obedience of Jesus reversed the disobedience of Adam and now allows us access back to Eden, where the tree of life is. Romans 5:17 says, you're right. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. That's you and I, amen? But even greater, tell your neighbor, but even greater, it's God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death. How many have got over sin? How many were supposed to die and you're still breathing oxygen, whether it's coming from Jesus or the trees, little science project I gave you? You're breathing. The power of God's word. You got to see it at work in your lives. The Bible says that it had power over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. It don't mention your name or Pastor Charlie's name. What God did through his son in obedience was greater than the disobedience of Adam and Eve. The tree of life was protected to protect us from being able to once again have life. If Adam and Eve would have eaten from the tree of life, would have continued to sin forever, forever, which to you and I represents hell. It's funny how the Bible here in chapter 2 starts off with this tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. How Jesus started, God started everything like that. But now we're going to go to the last book in the Bible, the last chapter in the Bible, written by John. Go there. Remember about that tree of life. Then the angel showed me a river. With the water of life, clear as crystal, showing him heaven. John's having a revelation. God gave John some revelation. He couldn't even talk about it. It was so deep. But this he could talk about. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center, which we want kid move around and call the middle. It flowed down the middle of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life. Talking about two trees now. But no longer is one the tree of knowledge of good and evil and one the tree of life. Now there's two trees of life on both sides of these living waters. It flowed down the middle of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life. Check this out. This is what John saw because of what Jesus did and what we have to look forward to. Bearing 12 crops of fruit. Amen. He saw two trees, one tree on one side of the river, one on the other side. And each one was bearing 12 crops. It was bringing in 12 harvests in. Not in a lifetime, but a year. And the Bible goes on to bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop each month. Wow. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer would there be a curse upon anything. For the throne of God of the Lamb will be there. And his servants will worship him. The last chapter, first, second chapter in the beginning of God's creation, the last chapter in the word of Revelation, chapter 22, speaks about two trees of life now. No longer crazy decisions having to be made. You go left, you're right, you go right, you're right. Trees of life that bear fruit each month, bring a crop, bring a harvest. And I believe that's what God's wanting to do here this year. He's wanting to bring a fresh crop out of you every month. God wants to be doing something so great. 12 months in the rehab home. He wants to do something so great every month in your life that bears a crop, that bears a harvest. Not just breathing in there, taking up room, but being transformed, because there's living waters as the source to the tree that bears fruit, a crop, every month. But today, there's still a tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And you're going to have to make a choice of which one you choose to eat from, to worship. See, that one tree, even though it's singled out, the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and even though the promises of the goodness of the Lord totally outweigh it, that one tree is able to get you hooked in a bad way. We're living in a day and age right now where just a little messing around can mess you up. I really believe, I don't have an ending for that message, amen, praise the Lord. I told Felipe I'm going to be 30 minutes late tonight. I got the little review about the revelations, and I started looking into it, and I got all captured by God's word. I've never heard that stuff. Been saved over 20 years. Why did that tree of life have to be so protected by an angel and flaming, flashing swords? Because God had to make a counter for your life and my life. And he did it through his son. To give us access, the garden represents his presence. The Bible says, for the throne of God and the Lamb will be there. Represents his presence. When you're in the presence of God, you can bet that you're going to bear fruit. You can bet that every month, every day, he's going to be doing something fresh in your life. But is there a source of waters of life nourishing your life? Do you have living waters within your life? Are you connected to the living waters that flow from the throne of God? Are you connected here this night? Or are you disconnected? When you're disconnected from God's presence, you'll be disconnected from God's promises. The enemy just got one little tree. That's all he's got. One little tree to work with. That's it, man. You got one little tree. One little, that's all he's got. Look how small this little bush is compared to this big old altar of grace and mercy. One little tree. This little bush could be a marijuana bush, marijuana plant. It could be a cocoa plant, which creates cocaine. It could be a poppy plant, which creates heroin. It could be a yeast plant. Or grain, wheat bush that produces alcohol. And sometimes we'll let one little tree take us out. When we have all the garden provision of God to flourish, we allow something little and minute and simple. Why? Because we let the enemy get into our ear. The enemy gets into my ear, don't get me wrong. But I know what God's word says to be able to counter. Do you know how to counter when the enemy gets in your ear? Oh, we got to hear another preaching this morning, another devotion. Man, it's worth gold, man. It'll keep that bush away. And the thing about the bush, amen, it's not in the notes. I don't see no hands on this bush. I don't see no feet on it. I don't even see a mouth. Wherever I put it, it's got to stay there, whether it's upside down or not. Stay! The only way that bush can get me is I got to go to it. I got to go to it. Who's still going to go to the gasoline station tonight and pull a 12-pack and get a 6-pack? Because it's Friday, you know, did you forget? It's Friday. There's not only church on Friday, but people are partying tonight. See, a 6-pack, it's just like that bush. It don't have no feet, no mouth, no hands. It don't even know your name. But the enemy does. He knows your weakness. He knows what it is. Smokes. Wacky tobacky. Hoochie mama on the street corner right now, freezing but willing to go there. You got to go to it. But man, it's speaking to you right where you guys are in the home. You're looking at that sucker and it's talking right now. It talks. Satan speaks. He's still speaking. And he only got one tree to work off of with you. One bush in the garden of God's wonderful provision. And we got to go to. And why did she get hooked? Why did she get lied to? She was giving an ear to the enemy. She was bored in the rehab, you know? Oh, same. I heard that message already. Sleeping on God's word will awaken you with the enemy's word. It's a bush. A bush took 20, 30 years of my life. Because I didn't know God's word. God made shrubs, trees of all sorts, the Bible says, to give us food. You know the coca plant? It's used in the hospitals largely for surgeries and all that stuff. But when it gets into the street corner, it's a hustle to make people cuckoo in their heads chasing a little $5 rock. What happens when you chase that little $5 rock? It becomes a god, and you will worship it. Go back to the last scripture. The Bible says, no longer would there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and the Lamb will be there, the presence of God, and His servants will worship Him. Stay. What is it of that bush that you think you still need in your life? What is in that bush that you just can't do without? When God is giving you all provision to bear a crop each month, proof that He's working in your life. See, God's looking for men and women this year that are going to open their hearts and their minds to what He has to offer, which is much, which is not limited. That bush is limited. It's so limited that you'll get stuck doing the same thing for years. And as limited as that bush is, you will worship it. If it's a coca, the coca leaf you're coming off that bush, you will worship it. You will give your house away, your car. You will give your wife away, your kids away. You will worship it. You'll worship it. What are you worshiping tonight? The tree of life? of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And the cares of the world and the problem of the church today that they still want to do good and evil. You still want to do good and evil. You can't mix the two. You're going to have to make a choice. I want God to be doing something always new in my life. It was a one-page message tonight. Then I got a little insight and I started writing real fast. What are you worshiping tonight? Because whatever is of the world, it's very limited and it will come to an end as the worship team comes up here. It will come to an end. God wasn't punishing Adam and Eve. He kicked them out of the garden. For you and I. He kicked them out of the garden for you and I. He kicked them out of the garden for you and I to have a second chance. He had to handle some business through his son before the garden could be opened up again. Before the presence of the Lord could be opened up again. The tree of life was free game until they partook of sin. He closed it down because what's good was now a problem. The Bible says that God is the foundation. Be careful how you build. He's the rock. The Bible says for those that ain't doing the right things that he becomes what was your foundation and rock, all of a sudden becomes your stumbling block. Jesus is not supposed to be a stumbling block. Supposed to be the rock. But a lot of times we stumble over the instructions of the Lord when we have all his provision. Men, women, it's not that hard. You make it harder than it is. What can a bush really give you? But our minds are so engraved that it brings peace and comfort and all. It's a lie. It's limiting you from the promises of God as we stand. Oh, I forgot about the bush. I got to get the bush. There's another leaf called the tobacco leaf. And it comes from a bush also. How can you let a bush control your life where you just got to have another one? Let me straighten up this bush. Looking a little shabby, dude. Yeah, I know you've been tossed around by church members too long. I know. They're not right. All right. Pep up. There's still more. Bush. Gotta have it. Whatever the song is, I just want you to stand right there where you're at. You don't have to come forward tonight. See, the bush can't come to you. You gotta go to it. What's the difference with the presence of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord? He's able to come to you right there where you're at. That's the difference. Because we serve a God that is alive, that speaks, walks. The bush, you got to walk to it. But God, he can walk to you here this night. Tell him, I desire your will, God. Tell him I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, Lord. I don't want a bush to run my life no more. I don't want a bush to control my thinking no more. I don't want a bush control my family.